good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat it? Head on RadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. A key week ahead for U.S. policy in Iraq. President Bush is expected to file a formal report in the next few days on the performance of the Iraqi government in meeting U.S. set goals for eventual peace. Top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, testified for several hours on Capitol Hill today in an attempt to buy time for the White House war plan to continue. He told Congress that the troop surge is working, but also admitted that success has been uneven. Current military strategy is expected to continue with U.S. troop withdrawal to begin early next year. Another strategy assessment would be carried out in 6 months. Seven U.S. soldiers were killed this morning in a vehicle rollover crash in Baghdad. A U.S. soldier died Sunday of injuries sustained in combat in northern Iraq. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki told his parliament today that Iraqi forces are not ready to take over security from U.S. troops. Al-Maliki said violence has dropped 75% in and around Baghdad since the U.S. began in February. An AP Ipsos survey found that only 36% of those questioned believe the troop increase has helped stabilize Iraq. That's up slightly from 32% in February as the buildup was beginning. FBI Director Robert Mueller defended the Bush administration's request for more surveillance power. Stressing the importance of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, Mueller said watering down those powers would cause the country to lose half of the tools now in use to fight terrorism. Al-Qaeda says Osama bin Laden will release another video statement this week to mark the 6th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Bin Laden had not appeared in a video for 3 years until just a few days ago. Colombian police have arrested the man known allegedly as the country's leading drug kingpin, Diego Montoya. He is considered one of the legends of the Colombian underworld and was captured in his home province of Valle de Coca in front of his mother and two bodyguards. In northern Mexico, a truck carrying more than 25 tons of dynamite exploded. At least 37 people were killed, and Mexican authorities are investigating a series of 6 simultaneous explosions that ripped through a national gas pipeline in eastern Mexico earlier today. You've been listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news right after this message.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their client's name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
More than two-thirds of the globe's polar bears, and all of them in Alaska, will die off by the year 2050, victims of climate change and thinning Arctic ice. That's according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Federal investigators say Medicare insurance companies failed to return to consumers tens of millions of dollars collected improperly. The report also says administrators failed to properly audit the companies. The SEC says it has launched an investigation into credit rating agencies to determine the legality of their role in mortgage loans being granted to borrowers with weak credit histories. The chief of the European Central Bank warns that the crisis in the U.S. housing market could affect the nation's entire economy. The U.S. Federal Reserve is expected to trim interest rates by 0.25% at its meeting early next week. Advanced Micro Devices unveiled its new server chip, the first from the company to offer 4 computing engines on one chip. The Lundberg survey says the average per gallon price of gas rose 6.5 cents last week. That's the first increase since early July. Light sweet crude oil trading at $77.49 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average held steady, closing up 14 points at 13,127. NASDAQ down 6 points. And the S&P 500 down 2 points. There's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Man, I have been missing for so long, I hardly know how to do this anymore. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 37, Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio, and thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. I am indeed live. Agnes is producing, and if you are listening, Monday, September the 10th, in the evening, a little after 9 p.m. Eastern time, you are indeed listening to a live program. Bob couldn't be live this evening. He had an appointment late in the afternoon and didn't get back into the studio in time to start his show. So what you heard Bob say was actually a replay, and in fact, it was Bob the replay tonight, and I'm the live show tonight, so just straightening that out. Oh, what a crazy week it has been. I think I'll refer to this as the Great Server Meltdown 2007 in Florida. After the Labor Day weekend, one of the people that I look after arrived at work on Tuesday morning, and their server had taken a lightning hit. It was fairly direct, I believe, because there were actually foils burned on the motherboard. It was a total loss. It was a meltdown. It involved purchasing a new server, reinstalling Windows 2003 server, and reinstalling the Microsoft Exchange server, which is a mail server program for all of the folks in their various offices, and then restoring all of the mail from backup. It was epic. It was high pressure. And, oh, I'm so glad to be done with that. What a week it has been indeed. The show site, I'm glad to be back, and thank you for waiting patiently. I love you guys. Don't miss you. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests and to the audio archives from past shows. You should use the audio archive links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. The ones on White Rose are not working right now. I'm not sure why, but they are working fine off the Strictly Confidential Radio site. So if you're looking for an archive of any of the shows, they're indexed there on the main website. You'll find links there, too, to the chat room and the main head-on radio network site, where you can find out all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, and the links are there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page, and links to locate the music that you're in the show. And by the way, I added Euroflash.net today. If you'll recall, Euroflash was Alex Natitkin. He was the fellow who told us it was okay to like disco. If you'll recall, he was the, and still is, the leading authority on Italo disco. And he operates the website Euroflash.net. That's Euroflash.net. And in fact, he shipped a whole bunch of very rare and very fabulous Italo disco today. It arrived today, and we'll be using one of those tracks as one of the dance tracks. We heard, we'll use it as a dance track tonight. We heard a short segment of it when he was on the program. We talked about that a few weeks ago, a track called How Old Are You? Which is, I find it fascinating, fascinating track. The call-in lines, toll-free 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates to being 877-443-2366. Or if you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can save the studio a nickel or a dollar or $5 by calling 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333. And that number rings in West Virginia. email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I try to check the mail during the breaks. Had another interesting story I'm going to tell you about this that happened to me this week. I ended up getting hate mail this week. I got an actual email from this guy that I've never met before in my whole life, and he writes to me, "Fuck you, faggot," and it's spelled F-A-G-G-I-T, and I'm like, what? And in any case, this guy, his first email arrived actually last Wednesday. I was in meltdown mode. I didn't really have time to deal with him, but it was one of those emails. It's all uppercase, so, you know, and I don't mind people writing emails in all uppercase. I mean, some people, it's just their style to do that. But when you get an email from someone you've never heard of before and you don't know if they're yelling at you or if they're just an all uppercase person, because it could mean either way. People who don't normally use all uppercase are yelling at you when they use all uppercase. So I get this email from this guy in Oklahoma City, and it says, "Why do I get your website when I click on a link for A to Z Inspects .com in OKC, which I finally deduced out to mean Oklahoma City, Jack Werner, huh?" And I didn't know what to make of it, really. And I don't know if he's talking about Strictly Confidential, if he's talking about the Head On Radio Network, or what he's talking about. And I waited a couple of days before I answered that, because, quite frankly, I was in, panic mode trying to get the client systems up and running, and I didn't know what this guy was. So I figured it out. This was Friday. I went and I figured out that he was telling me the link is a2zinspects.com, but he was putting the number 2 there. It's actually A, the word T-O, a2zinspects.com in Oklahoma City, because A2, anyway, long story, but the bottom line is, when he clicked on this link, it was taking him to adancefloor.com. And it's a site that I run. I don't talk about it a whole lot during the show, because this show, this Strictly Confidential, is not promoting that website. But in any case, he was, this A to Z Inspects link was taking him to gatedancefloor.com. So, I didn't know what he wanted. I said, well, you know, to reach the Gay Dance Floor, go to the, and I gave him the link to the Gay Dance Floor site. Or if you're an Amazon customer, go to the Amazon page. And then I get this email back, still in uppercase. I'm not sure if he's yelling. He says, "You didn't answer my question. I went to the website of a potential client and clicked on his website and got you instead. 3 others are doing this too. All I can assume, if you won't fess up, is that perhaps Mr. Werner is a customer of yours in some way, and frankly, I'm not that type. Thanks anyway." So what's happening is, this guy is clicking on whoever set up the site for this Mr. Werner, who is a building inspector, apparently. That link, through the programming of where you set up your website, you have to put in your IP address, something, it's pointing to gatedancefloor.com. So now he's decided that I'm not being honest with him, and that somehow or another, Mr. Werner and I are in some sort of sexual cahoots, because he's a customer of mine, and that he's not that type. And, you know, I emailed him. You know, I really can't help you with this. You know, you need to talk to whoever their web people are, get them straight out. And I got this letter back from him, says, "Fuck you, faggot." Anyway, it finally got to the point that I informed the Head On Radio Network, if we've got any weird phone calls, what the situation was. Because if I'm on the air, some weirdo from Oklahoma City with a bad attitude, I just needed Agnes to know that. But in any case, all these emails got copied to Mr. Werner and the website people, and it just turned into this huge thing. And I reported him to AOL, because he's an AOL customer for abuse of email, and it rose to epic proportions. It was just epic. He was really screwing with the wrong guy. Like, I was just going to sit here and take that bet. So anyway, we got this nice letter from the lady today. She said, "I'm so sorry it got turned into this huge thing." And she explained that she would take care of it and that they would fix the address. But it is possible to be sitting in your own little house, not bothering anybody, and get hate mail from people just because they happen to stumble across a site that sells gay dance music. No naked guys on that site, mind you, or any naked ladies, just lots of disco. But boy, he couldn't handle that. Boy, he could not handle that. You don't do that sort of thing in Oklahoma City, boy. I'm here to tell you. Let's see, what else have we got here tonight? Oh, yeah, in Bob's replay, he was talking about Embark telephone service. I should point out that looks like that's been resolved for a very long time when they first turned DSL on out here. Anytime there was a hint of thunder in the distance, the DSL would immediately go out, or we would have no dial tone with DSL, or we had DSL with no dial tone, or neither. And this went on for, a couple of months. It seems to have stabilized now, so I think that Embark, which is some sort of a spinoff from Sprint, apparently, has stabilized, and I'm glad that has happened. Normally Bob does do a show just prior to this, and Bob would normally cover this story, but I'm going to, because he wasn't live, most of you have been following it all day. It's the general Betray Us, and I'm just going to touch lightly on it. If you've been, reading the misleading statements, I'll just summarize it for you. What they're saying is that everything in Iraq is just fabulous. Just fabulous. Couldn't be better. George Bush, you're doing a hell of a job. It's just, that's what they're telling you. And in fact, the Republican spin machine has been telling folks that since prior to the war. Prior to the Petraeus. Him going to, they've been telling us that for weeks. The reason I'm stumbling here is I'm just remembering, I do have a caller, and I should take the caller before I get into the story. I was going to take the caller before I went into any news, but I'm just the kind of guy that just wanders around behind the chickens, and I don't always remember things like that. Joan, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Good evening, Peter.
Good evening to you, Jim. That was a great movie. That movie that you recommended, the Urbania, is that the way it's pronounced?
Right.
Yeah, that movie, you couldn't close your eyes at any point in that movie and miss any of it without completely losing track. Now, that requires a thinking person to, and it's really a very deep movie. That is a great movie. I'd never heard of it.
I thought you would appreciate it. I really did.
I did. That was an amazing movie. It was touching at the end what happened to his partner and everything. It's a movie called Urbania.
I recommend it highly to anyone. I really do. By the way, I've been looking for your finely chiseled features on the face of a milk carton in the grocery store.
With Elsie the cow?
No, not at all. But I'm glad you're back on the air and talking about whatever you talk about.
I have no idea what I said from one minute to the next.
Most people, if they were honest with themselves, would admit exactly the same thing. Just like that hate caller that you or that hate mailer that you received. Who knows? He would probably be the kind who would enjoy hearing Eleanor Roosevelt talk nasty. Who knows?
Probably so. Yeah, we traced him down by putting in an email address, and it actually traced back down to some high school he went to. Apparently he's had the same email address for 300 years. And the last email I got from him, by the way, says, "Well, while I disagree," and at one point I told him, I thought it was an AOL problem is the reason he was getting directed to my site. At first I didn't know what was up, so I said, AOL sucks, I can't really do anything about it. So finally the last email I got from him, he writes me, "Well, I don't agree with your lifestyle, but I'll agree with you on one thing. AOL does suck."
Well, at least you reached some point of consensus, did you not?
I guess so. That was at least my thought, too, that we at least agree. It's probably the first time in his cognizant life that he is aware of ever talking to a gay person, even though he's no doubt talked to millions of us. He's probably never been aware of it before. And he turned right ugly there at the start. So I was intended to, sort of not reach out to him, but at least demonstrate some humanity. Maybe it'll help Oklahoma City sometime. Who knows?
Well, cast your bread upon the waters. It'll come back to you.
Yeah.
I type in uppercase all the time because I'm just lazy.
I know you do. I was carefully trying not to, but some people just do, and that's their habit, the way they do it. That's fine. But when it's a stranger, you never know, Jim, what they're trying to say.
Lord knows. You certainly don't. Well, I hope you've been well, and hope you've gotten all of your professional events taken care of. I understand you were quite busy with servers and things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah, that's all behind us now, and I've kind of let them know that, you know, any more, you know, complete meltdowns like that, you know, they're going to need some backup help, because I just can't take a whole week out of my life to do that. Plus, they needed it done faster anyway, and, you know, they need more mommies than me. I'm not, you know what I mean? Bigger mommies.
Absolutely. You know, you were mentioning General Petraeus this afternoon at the American ambassador to Iraq, and I listened to the testimony given by both men, and accepted it with equanimity. And then I thought, well, there is definitely room for elaboration here. And later on CNN, they had Jack Cafferty. And Jack Cafferty went straight into the statistics about how the people in Iraq felt. And the statistics weren't very good as far as the levels of safety and comfort that these people in Iraq feel.
Exactly.
I mean, they were drastically reduced. And unfortunately, I can't help but agree with the chairman of the committee, who simply said, you know, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I say this very respectfully, I just don't buy it, and I found their testimony to be somewhat disingenuous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one version of it I heard was that the White House actually wrote it, and then on the other hand, they're desperately saying that Petraeus wrote it. And
well,
I'm sure this,
he said that he wrote it, but I was told by a congressman's office this afternoon that it was written by the NSC.
Now the NSC wrote it. So there's the third version. God help us, Jim. It's so convoluted, it'll take 100 years to get it straightened out.
Well, it certainly will. And obviously, and I said this earlier to Agnes when I was talking with her, I said, you know, unfortunately, this is the kind of game that the only way you can win it is not to play. And that's the story of our situation in Iraq. Of course, that option has now been denied us, since we are now playing in the area. And, you know, we really have the tiger by the tail.
Well, we do.
Yes. It's just, I don't know.
These people have a very long history. What is their culture? Is what, 2,000 years old at least? These people have a long...
And segueing from that, you know, I would like to be Alexandrian about a solution for this thing and cut the Gordian knot with a single stroke of the sword, but I really don't see that as a solution either. So I bring no real solutions to the table tonight, other than the fact that I'm very sorry that we have gotten ourselves into this mess. And
we have. This whole conflict will become legend to their society. We'll be hated eternally. This won't go away. These people have long memories, and why shouldn't they? It's a long culture.
Yeah, they certainly do. And of course, it was coming right on the evening of the sixth anniversary of 9/11 and the destruction of the World Trade Center complex. I think we'll just see how it works out. And as a part of their program tonight, they had an interview with Don Rumsfeld.
Oh, yes, I heard something about that, but I didn't see it. Tell us about it.
Well, Rumsfeld just said that he had given them all the parameters, which I don't doubt that he did. I mean, he's a very thorough man. I don't agree with him, but, you know, I respect his thoroughness, and I don't his disingenuousness, but nonetheless, they asked him if he missed his association with Bush, and he said no.
Yes, yes. And according to the report I read, at some point during this interview, whoever was doing it, they asked him if he agreed with don't ask, don't tell. Did you see that part?
No, I didn't, actually. I can only take him in very small doses, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, they were saying that that he wasn't going to address the issue because you know, his job was to agree with the administration, but in effect he said that no, he didn't agree with it, and that he was just agreeing with the White House all along. And maybe, in fact, I don't even think Bush agrees with it. According to, what was it, the Kitty Kelly, is that her name, Kitty Kelly book?
Right.
You know, George is no stranger to having a big one down his throat. Sorry to put it so bluntly, my dear.
Well,
but
I can't speak to that. However, you know, it's really strange. I was reading in, there's a very good magazine. It's, I call it the first cousin to Vanity Fair. It's called Details.
Yes.
And they had an article about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And apparently the level of dismissals was pretty high in 2001. It was like 1,260. And that has dropped from 1,260 in 2001 to less than 700 to about 630 in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, apparently, its implementation is at the discretion of the commander. Now, at which level, I would probably think it would have to be a field officer or a major or above. So we say the battalion level if you're in the Army. And it's up to the discretion of the commander if you wish to initiate the paperwork and push it forward. But there are two key words which will provide guidance for that commander under the existing statute as I read it, and that is the person has to be mission essential. And there are some commanders who don't care if the person is gay, they're going to be drummed out of the service, and there are some who have let it slide. So apparently it's not being enforced as rigorously. In 2006, according to the Detail article, as it was in 2001.
Yeah, well, with bullets flying over their head, I guess they're getting a little bit more serious about it. But we talked about this with the SLDN people a little bit, and there's the whole thing about, they were calling it lesbian baiting, you know, if a woman in the military did not want to sleep with a particular coworker or soldier, and they would try to say she was a lesbian, and women are often affected by it. They, you know, build up these, you know, it's just evil. The whole thing is evil. It's laughable, isn't it?
Well, I think if you ask the actual soldier who was there, who was having to deal with life situations, I think a lot of them would probably say, I really don't care as long as you can, you know, cover my back and take
care of
your
business. And in fact, you're right.
And,
in fact, you're right. Most of them do say that, Jim. You're right.
And if you, like I said, and I refer you back to that book called Conduct Unbecoming by Randy Shields, which points to the distinguished services that have been rendered in many wars to our country by gay people.
I really enjoyed having that guest we had a while back, the fellow, I can't remember his name, he talked with us about gay military history, Denny Meyer, that was his name.
Right.
Did you happen to?
Shields wrote that book, Conduct Unbecoming, and it's a good read, and it takes several cases through their development, and it really elaborates upon the inequity and the injustice of the existing policy that was signed into law by President Clinton in 1993, unfortunately.
Yes, he was a great Republican president, wasn't he, Jim?
Well, he had his good points and his bad points, but I can't agree with him on that. And so I did admire his reply to the senator who was in the restroom and the Minneapolis airport. Now he's trying to go back, but said that he hoped that the man would be able to at least survive this on his family level, and his family would not be injured by this. And Clinton was very gracious to him.
This Hillary or Bill? That was I didn't hear it. Hillary or Bill?
President Clinton.
Oh, okay.
And he said, you know, he hoped that the man will be able to survive this on a personal level, though he could see the sunset of his political career approaching. And now this man is beginning to recant everything, and I don't know what the status of it was. I think he filed a brief today to recant his confession. And whether or not the judge is going to accept it, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's such a mess.
It's highly unlikely that under Minnesota law that may happen. If it does, it will surprise me, because I think the guy, once he confessed to what he did, you know, all of a sudden he's having this crisis of political expediency.
Yeah.
And
now the whole thing is to survive.
The Republican Party, I mean, they didn't even bother to let him exit the front or the rear of the bus. They just threw him out the window under the wheels of the bus. They wanted to get
him though
quickly.
Yeah, now he's the one that's going to show up in a milk carton, Jim. Yeah, he's the one that's going to end up with Elsie on the milk cart.
Well, I just hope he'll just go away. But in a way, I hope that he will fight it, and I hope they will try to, you know, he's gotten himself into what I call the tar baby complex, because the more he tries to struggle to resist, to back away from it, the more entangled in it he's going to become. And, you know, let him go ahead and fight it. I hope he does.
Yeah, he's saying the press made me do it. The press made me confess, because there was an ongoing investigation by some newspaper in his area. I don't recall which one.
It's just amazing how some of these people just try to tell you one thing and then say, oops, no, I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say something else. You know,
well, I've just never seen as many people. As many people having sex as the Republicans are. It's like a gay bar at midnight. The whole Congress.
Well, and really, it's just, and the thing about it, Peter, is that so many people have begun to, I think, like the percentage level as far as people who respect members of Congress, it's really dropping. And, you know, it's, and Cafferty today in his report on Wolf Blitzer said that it has just gotten to the point, like, it's in the low 20%. Even Bush has a higher percentage rating of approval than members of Congress do. And that's sad. It really is.
It is sad.
Representatives.
What is he running, a 20-something percent now? It's hard to keep up. The number fluctuates.
He's
in the lower
20%.
Yeah.
But Jack Cafferty was quite interesting tonight, because he's written a book called It's Getting Tough Out There. It came out with today. And, you know, he describes his life as being pretty rough. His parents were divorced 11 times. He had that many parents because of alcoholism, and he had a serious problem with drinking.
Good Lord.
20 years ago, he let it go, and he said his life has improved considerably since his trip into abstinence, and that's good. I have a lot of respect for Jack Cafferty. He may sometimes growl and things like that, but I have a lot of respect for him. I really do.
11 times is right up there with Joan Crawford, for crying out loud.
Speaking of which, this afternoon I got tired of watching Petraeus, so I punched in an old video of The Women. Have you ever seen that movie?
Jim, I don't think I have. That's one that it escapes me.
Norma Shearer, Joan Crawford, and, oh, Lord, I can't remember the other theme, but it's an all-female cast, and it's just wonderful. Joan Crawford plays Crystal Allen, who is trying to wreck this woman's marriage. She's played by Norma Shearer.
Oh, then I haven't seen it.
Norma Shearer and Joan Crawford just hated each other. Well, I don't want to get off too much on old movie stars and things like that. But, you know, they fascinate me, if you well know.
Well, I mean, we could talk about Britney Spears. I mean, she's getting kind of older.
No, I don't think so. She's just not even good theater.
Well, you know, they could have resurrected Betty Davis to have done that for her.
Well, I guess so. Anyway, listen, I will tell you one funny story.
Okay.
And this actually happened, and I was talking with my good friend Davey in San Francisco. And she is an art director there in the city. And when I was visiting her, she and I got on the Mooney, which is part of the Bay Area transit system.
Oh.
And there was a lady there who looked just like Barbara Bush.
I see.
Exactly like her. I mean, she had on a Chanel suit, the faux pearls, not the fox pearls, some of these idiots will say who can't even pronounce the word properly.
The Texas pearls.
She had on the faux pearls and was well accessorized, you know, and our ability to accessorize is the only thing that will really separate us between the lower elements of the animal kingdom. But we won't go into that, okay?
Okay, okay.
And so, being from the South, I gave the lady my seat. And do you know what she said to us?
No telling.
I have a microphone in my vagina.
Oh, Jesus. No. Okay.
She did.
And did she go any further?
I just looked at her and I said, why? And my friend Davey said, we're at our stop. Let's get off the bus now. And so, or the train. So we detrained. So I never found out why she was saying this to me. But and I have to share this with Peter because Davey and I were talking that day, and she said, "You remember that crazy woman we ran to on the bus or the train?" And I said, yeah.
Now that
one,
is the one
like Barbara Bush and has a microphone hidden in her private parts. And I said, "Good Lord."
Lord, Jim, that's a great story. I could just see it. You know, and if Barbara had a microphone down there, maybe it would have prevented George. Who knows if somebody was listening in that day.
Do you have time for one more story?
Hell, I've got 2 hours, Jim. Go for it.
Well, you know, tomorrow is, of course, 9/11. And I remember it was back in 1978. I was in New York City in the summer. And had dinner at the Windows of the World on top of the World Trade, and it was just incredible. And I still look back on those buildings with a great deal of handsomeness out there, not to mention the loss of the people who worked in them. But the whole complex was just an incredibly beautiful effort on New York's part to revitalize itself, and now it's all gone. But anyway, later on that night, my friend said, now that we've seen the heights of Manhattan, we're going to see the depths. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, okay. We got back to his residence, and he said, look up mine shafts in the directory. It was a bar in Greenwich Village. And I called him, and I said, what are your hours? And they said, open at midnight. And I said, you got a dress code? He said, no disco drag, no polyester, and we prefer that you come dirty.
Okay.
And I said, okay, fine. So we went. And honestly, Peter, the door was opened by a guy dressed like a motorcycle cop with mirror glasses and a hard hat, you know.
Well,
and
yeah, true to form.
The levels of the building, you saw these elements of depravity. And speaking of disco, they had this disco soundtrack. And back in the day, Casablanca used to produce all these records. And they had one song called In My Father's House Are Many Mansions. And when I was at one level, and it was probably the bottom level, the ninth circle of hell of this bar, I heard that and I said, if Christ were to come back to earth tonight, he would not like finding you here. And I said, let's get the hell out of here. I have never seen such in my life. But it was one of those life experiences that I just thought I might share with you. And
I'm glad you did. There was a... And I have yet to ever find it. It's one of those treasures that was lost along the way. Way back 100 years ago when I DJed on Sunday mornings, one of the places I DJed in Portland, Oregon, I had a, and it might have been on Casablanca. I wish I could remember it. I can't remember the name, but it was all gospels remixed with as high energy disco. And there was I'll Fly Away and what is the song? Power in the Blood and... I believe the one about my father's house was on there too. I wonder if that was off the same because
they had one that has Simon Peter. That was one of the cuts that they had on that on this particular thing that I remember. But I can remember they had lots of things there. And by the way, I did find Portrait on the website that your guest was on, the Top of Disco. And it's an incredible CD. I love it.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you did. He has sent some new Euro Disco, well, they're new to me, and they're just fabulous. And I've only gotten to actually open the package today, and I'll be using a lot of those on the show. They're just fabulous.
Now, what's the name of that website again? Gazebo?
The group is called Gazebo, and they did a song called Masterpiece. I have that straight, right? And his website is called Euroflash.net, and there's a dash between Euro and Flash, so it's Euro-Flash.net.
Now, like I say, it's very high energy, but also very elegant too. And speaking of elegance, I'm going to close this conversation with you about the movie I reminded you. And if you can see it again, Evil Under the Sun, the Agatha Christie thing.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. And there's some great Agatha Christie stuff. I can't remember the name, but there's one that stands out, but I can't call it right now. But I don't know if I've seen that one, the Evil
Under
the Sun.
Well, this one has Sylvia Miles, James, Maggie Smith, just a stellar cast. Roddy McDowell's in it. And the whole thing is set to, it's not a musical, but all the background music is done by Cole Porter. And, you know, to me, it was watching that, and I've seen it several times in the past several weeks. It's just redolent.
Redolent, I love it. I love your vocabulary.
Elegant time. I'm sorry?
I love your vocabulary. it's masterful Southern vocabulary. That's not
thanks,
that's
Peter.
A Southern word. But that.
You, I take that as a compliment.
That shows
I'm glad
great
you're back
show.
On the air, and I'm going to let you get back and stop boring all your listeners, all my prattling and whatever. But you take
that's
care,
you never
of, and we will talk to you later, I guess.
Yes, like, sir.
We'll
please do.
Talk any further about any? Are there any other subjects we can cover tonight while we're talking?
Not without going to jail, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, listen. Okay. Thanks again for the opportunity of being on your show, and I wish you well. And you take care of yourself. Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for checking in, and I'll talk to you later, my friend.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Jim. And that was caller Jim. Anyway, I was going to. Hey, no, Jim. Oh, what a wit. He really is. You know, he's the kind of guy that you could see. You could see him like one of those old Southern, sort of kind of like slightly demented Southern families, you know, roaming around in the big house. maybe not wearing a set of drapes, but, you know, quite a character. Anyway, I was going to point out to you at the beginning of the show, in case you've been waiting all day for the General Betraeus report, I'm going to give you a short version. Everything in Iraq is just marvelous, absolutely marvelous. And they've been lying about it, for months now. And the Media Matters has put out a 12-page document, and I'm not going to go through a 12-page document with you, but I'll list off the major falsehoods that have been leaked and pushed to the press prior to any report by Petraeus. The first myth that's being pushed to the press is the surge is working, and of course that is a lie. The second is that the surge has reduced violence in Iraq, and that is a lie. The third is the U.S. military deaths are down this summer, that also is a lie. Democrats agree the surge is working, that is a lie. Democrats are calling for a precipitous withdrawal from Iraq. Now, most Republicans don't even know what precipitous means. But Bush, somebody whispered the word in Bush's ear, and so Bush has been constantly using the word precipitous withdrawal, which is a lie. And the other myth that is being pushed, and this is ahead of the Petraeus report, is that if we withdraw the troops from Iraq, the enemy will follow us home. And indeed, Jim did mention a point he saw covered today, and that is that 70% of Iraqis say the escalation violence has worsened rather than improved since the surge. 78% say things are going badly for the country overall. That's up 13 points. 63% say it was wrong for the U.S. to have invaded Iraq to begin with. That's up
from 52%, and 47% now favor immediate withdrawal of U.S. forces, and there's a 12-point rise since March. And they're telling me in the chat room that, and yes, I did see that in production chat, Matt Gold's piece. Matt Gold, who was our guest recently, wonderful guest, I enjoyed talking to Matt, did the Billy Shears piece this week at BillyShearsMusic.com, and stop by there. He talks about his cover of the track, which I don't have written in front of me, and you know that I'm elderly and cannot recall it off the top of my head. Bless Matt's heart. I hope he's not listening. He's probably mad at me, but anyway, I did go to the site, and Matt Gold is there. I'm sorry, I can't call the name off the top of my head right now. I was just down Disco Road with Jim, and I can't recall too many things all at the same time. Now let's see. And they also are pointing out in chat that Matt Gold is gorgeous, and yes, he is gorgeous. That's not why I had him on the show. I didn't know he was gorgeous when I had him as a guest. I found out he was gorgeous later. It was just added bonus. Now let's see. I'll tell you what, we've been rambling on for 45 minutes now. Why don't we, at this point, run our Italo Disco track? And this is from the new collection that we have from Allison Titkin, who is the leading authority on Italo Disco. And we heard a very short clip of this when he was a guest. I think the song is fabulous. It's called, it's by Miko Mission, M-I-K-O Mission. And the track is called How Old Are You? And let's just go ahead and run that track, and then I'll go ahead and go straight into a break after running the track, and I can cut my whistle. So we'll just run our dance track for tonight. Thank you, Agnes. Thank you.
too without my lover. But tell me if the sky's blue, how old are you?
And we're back. I know you heard me tell Agnes to go to a break after the track, but I changed my mind and I told her in production, nah, come back to me, because I want to share a story. You know, our chat room is just the most incredible place you've ever heard. And to match Jim's story about the vaginal microphone, we have Fantasy Free from our chat room has told me a story in a private message that I'm going to share with you. A Fantasy Free once interviewed a lady, and she was well put together, she says, and she was articulate, and she's also an expert in UFOs. And the woman who's speaking to Fancy Free says, when I was first contacted by the aliens, and Fancy Free stopped her and said, ask, you've had more than one contact? And the woman delicately touches the back of her neck and said, I'm in constant contact. I have an implant. So, Jim, perhaps that was an alien microphone that the woman was referring to, because certainly these aliens are planting things all over the place. I wanted not to be outdone. Fancy Free has an implant story too. Now, we're not going to do the top of the hour break right now. We'll do that in a few minutes. But I'm saving a story for after the top of the hour break, because it's too long to get into right now. It's 9:54 now, and it's a murder suicide. A huge gay lovers, and they live together, and they're lovers, and the other guy comes in, and he's either having an affair with one of them, and all the huge Republican names are involved in it. I mean, this makes the foot tap against the stall look like a fly passing gas in the wind. I just couldn't believe this story just moving away. But we'll talk about that after the top of the hour. Right now, to fit this in just before the news, I'll tell you about the parents and friends of ex-gays. I talked about them recently. PFOX, that is the Fundy's equivalent, the money-making equivalent of what GLAAD is to the gay community. Their executive director, Regina Griggs, has a long, long history of claiming to be a persecuted minority, described it like a parallel universe, that it's really homosexuality is accepted everywhere and gay people are welcome all over the planet, and it's the ex-gays who have experienced discrimination. And she claims to work aggressively against gays and lesbian families at all levels. Well, she doesn't just claim to, she does. And if anybody expresses any opposition to her in any way, or to her organization, or any questioning her in any way, she immediately goes off into this huge rant about how they're discriminating against the ex-gay community. And that she's even pushing this ex-gay thing as another orientation. It's a whole new category. We have bisexuals and lesbians and gays, and ex-gays is now an orientation. Lord have mercy. It's hard to... Anyway... There was a big old fair at the Arlington, Virginia County Fair, and she is claiming that members of her PFOX organization were attacked. Yes, honey, she's saying it happens every year, and that gay activists disrupt her booths, and when they try to hand out material, and they screamed obscenities and threw things on the floor and threw her brochures down. And she said one gay man hit one of our ex-gay volunteers because he refused to recant his ex-gay testimony, and they had to call the police, she said. They ejected the gay man from the fairgrounds, and that the ex-gay volunteer decided not to press charges because he wanted to turn the other cheek, just as Jesus had done. Well, yes, as you might imagine, the story was picked up by Focus on the Family and the Family News Focus radio program and all the... Yep, people. But guess what? It's not true. Not a word of it. This fellow who wrote this article, Jim Burroway, he contacted the Arlington Police Department and spoke with John Lyle of the Media Relations Department of the Police Department, and he had no knowledge at all of any such incident. He checked into it briefly and said again he was not aware of any such incident. So they sent a copy of the PFOX statement to him so he could read it and figure out what was going on, and he agreed he would read it and check into it further. And so after 2 days of research, there was nothing he could add. No report exists. There was no such incident. The police were not called. There was no fight. Nobody got hit. The Arlington County Fair officials are saying there were no problems. They were aware that the PFOX group was there, and that they were following that booth very, very closely to make sure nothing happened to spoil the fair. Jackie Abrams, the vice chair of the Arlington County Fair, no physical altercation occurred. The police were never called. No one was ejected from the fairgrounds. She said, I was in radio contact with other board members during the fair, and I would have known definitely if the police had been summoned. It did not happen. And, of course, all calls to Regina Griggs have gone unanswered. that's her story, and she's sticking to it. Also, there were eyewitnesses who were nearby booths, and they each reported that there were heated discussions, as you might well imagine, between gay folks and the ex-gay people. But that's what they were, heated discussions. There was no physical assaults. Nobody was shoving, kidding, no throwing down of pamphlets, knocking things over. No one was escorted off. No shred of evidence that any of it ever happened. You know, when I first realized these people weren't just ignorant, that they were actually liars, and that they were aware that they were lying, that was a huge thing for me. When I finally caught on to that, I thought for a long time, I just thought they were ignorant. But no, they're actually liars. And you know, it'll be a long time before the KKK Christian community actually catches on to that, I guess. It is a money-making organization. I have a list of buried further in, and I'll cover those later, of the millions of dollars of various organizations make from fundraising on homophobia. And so, as we head to the top of the hour, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and you're listening to Strictly Confidential. You can reach us toll-free at 877, the number 4, head on.
This is the Quality News Network. Top U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, testified for several hours on Capitol Hill today in an attempt to buy time for the White House war plan to continue. He told Congress that the troop surge is working, but also admitted that success has been uneven. Current military strategy is expected to continue, with U.S. troop withdrawal to begin early next year. Another strategy assessment would be carried out in 6 months. A key week ahead for U.S. policy in Iraq, President Bush is expected to file a formal report in the next few days on the performance of the Iraqi government in meeting U.S. set goals for eventual peace. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki told his parliament today that Iraqi forces are not ready to take over security from U.S. troops. Al-Maliki said violence has dropped 75% in and around Baghdad since the U.S. began in February. 7 U.S. soldiers were killed this morning in a vehicle rollover, a crash in Baghdad. A U.S. soldier died Sunday of injuries sustained in combat in northern Iraq. An AP Ipsos survey found that 36% of those questioned believe the troop increase has helped stabilize Iraq. That's up slightly from 32% in February. Colombian police have arrested the man known allegedly as the country's leading drug kingpin, Diego Montoya. He is considered one of the legends of the Colombian underworld and was captured in his home province of Valle de Cauca in front of his mother and two bodyguards. U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential campaign will return $850,000 in contributions raised by Norman Shea. He remains hospitalized in Colorado. He faces extradition to California on charges of grand theft. Shea is also being investigated in connection with an investment pool, which the FBI says may have been illegally run. Republican Senator Larry Craig has filed court papers to withdraw his guilty plea to charges stemming from his arrest in an airport sex sting. Oscar-winning actress and first wife of President Ronald Reagan, Jane Wyman, died at her Palm Springs, California home today. She was 93 years old. In northern Mexico, a truck carrying more than 25 tons of dynamite exploded. At least 37 people were killed. More than 140 were wounded, 24 critically. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll look at science and business after this message.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address and city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, Go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
Federal investigators say Medicare insurance companies failed to return to consumers tens of millions of dollars collected improperly. The report also says administrators failed to properly audit those companies. Chipmaker Intel has broken ground in China to construct its first computer microchip factory in Asia. The $2.5 billion plant is set for completion in 2010. Advanced Micro Devices unveiled its new server chip, the first from the company to offer four computing engines on one chip. Citing a 25% drop in new home loans, Countrywide Financial says it will lay off 12,000 employees. That's one-fifth of its workforce. The SEC says it has launched an investigation into credit rating agencies to determine the legality of their role in mortgage loans being granted to borrowers with weak credit histories. Apple says it has sold the 1 millionth iPhone over the weekend. That's 3 weeks ahead of schedule. And that sent the company's stock back up after a drop when Apple unexpectedly lowered the price of the new device by $200 just a couple of months after its debut. Light sweet crude trading at $77.49 a barrel. That's up 79 cents. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average held steady, closing up 14 points at 13,127. NASDAQ down 6 points. S&P 500 down 2. There's always more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And we're back. The telephone number toll-free is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. That translates to 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, please use that and save the studio some money. That would be area code 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I prefer that you not write it all uppercase. Fuck you, faggot, because I already got one of those this week. And the website is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. I'm so glad to be back with you tonight. It's hardly know how to act. And as I've told you, I'm going to do story on the murder-suicides that have taken place in Orlando. The blogosphere is obsessed with it. It is huge. It is bizarre. The mainstream media is staying away from it with a vengeance. In fact, when the deaths were reported, the Florida Today newspaper reported their headline was, "Lovers' Fight May Have Sparked Three Deaths." And the Republican Party consultants, one of the three men found dead in a Central Florida home. It's a double murder-suicide sparked by an affair. Shortly after they published this, they immediately changed, a few hours later, with no explanation, they removed any references to a lover's fight may have sparked the three deaths. And they kept the story, but they dropped all of that, and the mainstream media is not touching it. And it certainly looks like all of this is true. The reports are coming in from many media sources. Some are confirmed. Some are not confirmed. Of course, the mainstream media has the resources to investigate this thoroughly. In fact, they should. But they seem to be wanting to stay away from this particular one. Now, what we have is a Republican consultant. He and his lover. They live together. The story is complicated and it's confusing because there's so many different sources. I'm gonna weave it together as best I can for you. We got a guy named Ralph Gonzalez. He's 39 and he is the diva of Republican political consulting. He commands huge salaries
from all sorts of name Republicans, several of which are buried further down in the story here. Feeney. Feeney says that Gonzalez is a born political consultant. That's Tom Feeney, who is also, by the way, and his Wikipedia references say that Feeney is one of the most corrupt politicians that's ever been in government ever, period. But, you know, you would expect that. He's a Republican. But in any case, Ralph Gonzalez, who is a diva political consultant, he's president of something called the Strategium Group. That's the name of his consulting firm. He was found dead Thursday, along with his lover, David Abrami. Now, David Abrami is 36. And a friend, quote, friend was there also, a Robert Drake. Now, apparently Robert Drake shot and killed both Ralph and his lover, David. these are Republicans, I'm not going to tell you. Shot and killed Ralph and David, then killed himself. Now, it's beginning to look like from various sources that this was that Robert Drake was having an affair with one of them. It's some sort of three-way sexual tryst, and Robert Drake was on the outside of it, and he was not one of the people who lived there. So there were weapons, there were signs of struggles. The three dead men were found in the house with two dogs, bless their little doggy hearts. The bodies had been there for almost a week. Boy, it's the dogs that suffer, isn't it? The Alabama Republican Legislative Committee in 2005 paid the Strategium Group over $3,000 just to print a flyer. He's command salaries like as high as $100,000. I have more information buried in here. And that flyer was to accuse a Democratic candidate for the House of Representatives of supporting gay marriage. You know, see, these people, you know, I wouldn't be beaten up on them. It was just, you know, if they were lovers and they happened to be Republicans. But no, this goes the full Republican hypocrite range here. These people are very much involved in kicking gay folks to the curb while they, in fact, do whatever it is that Republicans do in bed. I would rather not know. The flyer that they printed up for the Alabama Republican Legislative Committee depicted two smiling men on a porch holding hands with the caption, "Let Gloria Dolbar, who is the candidate, know that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve." How many times have we heard that before? The articles that are being talked about, as the blogosphere, I've said that it was a fight, and it was a lover's fight that sparked the three deaths. All references, as I say, to the lover's quarrel has been removed from the Florida Today report. And it gets even more scandalous. Hang on to your hat, honey. This is the biggest one yet. The GOP, these boys are also tied to a male escort service and prostitution ring. Is anybody surprised? Do I have any surprised people in the crowd? I kind of doubt it at this point in time. And the whole story is just begging for information from, you know, and reporting by the mainstream media, but apparently they are not touching it right now. You know how the game is played. One blogger called Drama Queen notes that in both Monday and Tuesday in Drama Queen's post that it was highly suspicious that the traditional media has just ignored this whole Florida murder-suicide. This just happened at the very end of August, a couple of weeks ago they found the body, or a week ago. It covers the whole range of fundamentalist Christian politicians, anti-gay, the homosexual consultants. It even involves election software tampering. That's one of the aspects of this, which is how the Florida election was taken in the year 2000, as all of us people who know these things already know, that the others would probably argue with us about. And of course, there's a tie to the gay porn related. There's a tie to a gay porn related murder in Pennsylvania. And as I said earlier, it is so much wilder than Larry Craig's toe tapping, or any of the other Republicans' men's room scandals that leaves them all in the dust. The whole thing is outrageous. You also got a congressman named Pat McHenry. He's a Republican in North Carolina. Now, he's the only one that's gone on record about this so far. He's trying to keep a lid on it. And anyway, they called this bloggers group. They called his office. Okay, now this guy Patrick McHenry is hooked up with a guy named Drake, who's a former Marine, and he has a strong relationship, both intimate and business political, with Congressman Patrick McHenry in North Carolina. I'm telling you, people, this is unbelievable. It's hard to wrap your head around it all. Okay, so the blogger spoke to McHenry's office. Now, he's the Republican congressman in North Carolina. He spoke to McHenry's office, and at first they insisted they had never heard of Drake. Okay, then the bloggers confronted them with specifics. Okay. They admitted they knew him, but they refused to put Congressman McHenry on the phone. And there's every indication that McHenry may have been one of the Republican elected officials who was using the services of a gay prostitution agency connected to Drake. And the people over at Bradblog are pointing out that the connections between Florida's ultra-corrupt vote-tampering Congressman Tom Feeney, who refers to one of the dead guys as being the master of political consultant, what was the phrase he used? He's the congressman and Gonzalez reports that the threat to expose. You see, the thing is that they're thinking that Gonzalez was threatening to expose a list of Republican elected officials who were using the gay escort service, and now somehow or another, those guys were murdered by a third guy, who's dead on the floor. And I told you this is confusing. And what's his name? Yeah, Drake is the one who was the. Drake is the one who killed himself. There's a lot of names. It's confusing, I know, but all Republican stories are confusing. You have to weave these things together. You have to pick pieces up out of the sewer to tell a story about these people. Anyway, so Drake, he's connected to the prostitution, and Drake is connected to Patrick McHenry, and going to expose a list of Republicans. Now, So they're summarizing here that, you know, it makes the whole Craig thing look like a joke. The Florida residence, now the residence itself was owned by the former executive. The residence that the double murder suicide occurred in was owned by the former executive director of the Georgia Republican Party. Now they've been dead since last Tuesday. And I'm just covering some facts here I probably missed because I'm having to pull this from so many different sources. The two men lived at the residence, the investigators told the local media. There were signs of firearms and struggles inside the home. And the police are saying it was a murder-suicide, which I told you. Also, Gonzalez maintained ties to Georgia with the Republican Congressman Tom Price from Roswell, Georgia. And he's one of the guys who gave testimonials for Strategium Consulting. He was saying that Ralph Gonzalez was a key part of the House campaign. Now here's the reference on Feeney. He's called one of the 20 most corrupt members of Congress by the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics. And the Sentinel reports in Miami, the Orlando Sentinel reports that in July of 2005. One failed candidate in Orlando, a mayor, paid the consultants $115,000 for just 3 weeks of work, and that the story is still developing. And also this is tied in with a guy named Clint Curtis. Now, Clint Curtis was made to look like a fool. Clint Curtis is one of the guys who was screaming loudly about the stolen election and the rigged software that was running on the Florida voting terminals that was slipping votes. So anyway, this consulting company went on a whole attack campaign. They were hired to go on an attack campaign against Clint Curtis. They put out flyers and posters of him wearing a tinfoil hat. You know, they photoshopped tinfoil onto his head and You know how they do all that sort of thing, and it's hard to unravel. It's hard to unravel. This will be an ongoing story for a while. As the week goes on, I'll continue to to find out more about it and find out more about how the guy Clint is involved. Now, the best I can tell you is that Clint was involved because of he was concerned about the Florida elections. And one of the mailers that they did, they took Clint Curtis's head and superimposed his head on the body of Playboy magazine publisher Hugh Hefner, and it went out to 110,000 voters in Central Florida. And a lot of the voters said it was pornographic, and they didn't want it mailed to their mailbox. And so, quite a history here. And so, you know, I'm just telling you, I can't make this stuff up. I can't. Oh, that's right. Thank you. Agnes is pointing out in chat, in the production chat, that it was Clint Curtis who wrote the vote-flipping software. And he signed off after. That's right. That's the guy that actually wrote. Some Republican was asking him to write software, you know, just as an experiment. Let's just see if we can do it. It was never supposed to be used. That's who Clint Curtis was. Thank you, Agnes. Would be lost without you, my dear. And, well, that's all I know about that. The pieces are still falling together. I will keep you posted. But this one looks big, kids. This one looks big. And also, we've got Foley. Remember, Foley is the page guy, you know, the guy who was sending the hot emails to have sex with hot pages in Congress. You remember the scandal, Mark Foley, the internet communications with teenage boys. Well, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, FDLE, is complaining that they tried to conclude the investigation, but Foley is refusing to turn over computers. These are federally owned computers now that he used in Congress, and the Congress is backing him up that they're not going to let the Florida Department of Law Enforcement follow up on this investigation, the emails he sent to the pages, because Congress will not turn the computers over to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Remember, he was the one who said that he was an alcoholic, and he was molested by a priest after he had done dirty deed. This stuff is getting hard to keep up with, kids. There's so many different things to pull. Hopefully, this story will become more cohesive because it's hard to pull things from that many different. So anyway, as we come up on a break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free, 877-4, head on. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap. There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes. Somebody's trying to make me stay,
you know I've got to be moving on. Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
I grew up thinking you could do anything. and be anything because that was the American dream. But because I'm gay, I'm denied that. Because of people's prejudices, I'm denied a civil right. Because I'm gay, I can never get married. Is that what America's about? I don't know. Well, that's not the America I was raised in.
You caught me chair dancing. Oh, I love the song. I'm going to play this song complete one night coming up soon. I just love that song. And they're pointing out to me in production chat that, you know, I just mentioned Feeney and Feeney's connection to these lovers, and then Drake comes in and kills the two lovers. Well, now, you know, there was the talk, too, of that Drake was going to out the list of congressmen who were customers of the gay, of the male escort ring. Okay, well, production chat is pointing out to me that an investigator from the Florida Secretary of State, or it may have been the Attorney General's office, was found dead by, quote, suicide in a Georgia motel room after investigating Feeney. So Feeney is tied up to death by suicide sort of thing. Interesting, is it not? Whatever happened to the days when 60 Minutes actually did real news? Whatever happened to the good night and good luck? God, can you imagine if there was a real mainstream media, you know, with a budget and the intent to get to the bottom of things, how different the world would be? You know, I was saying just the other day, it's not so much the fundies and it's the media I despise. Because honestly, you know, those people are incalibrant and stubborn, but if the media were telling them the truth, they would have to look up from their grits and face the music occasionally. Ah, Jesus, what are we going to do? I guess this is what we do. We meet in chat rooms and we share things as we can because we are outlaws in this country. We have to do it this way. Remember Scotty Joe Weaver? Talked about him a few weeks ago after our friend Preston in Denver told us about the movie Small Town Gay Bar. And by the way, I've been telling you Small Town Gay Bar was available from Netflix. I happened to stop in a Blockbuster the other day. I needed to return some things for my sister. And while I was there, I walked over and to look to see. And yes, a Blockbuster, in fact, does have Small Town Gay Bar. So if you don't subscribe to Netflix, you can still see it. But anyway, Scotty Joe Weaver was one of the people in the movie Small Town Gay Bar, which is a documentary. He was the young man. His mother was, they interviewed her. It was pitiful. He was brutally murdered in Alabama. Anyway, one of his murderers, an Alabama man, got two life sentences for his murder. Now, this is the same sentence that his accomplice, Christopher Gaines, got back in May for the murder of Scotty Joe Weaver in Alabama. They both pled guilty to avoid the death penalty. By pleading guilty, they did not go to trial, and they received two consecutive life sentences for the murders. Now, Porter's the one who just got his sentence. The other fellow got his sentence a while back. He his attorney is saying he gave a confession that he participated in the murder, so it's pretty hard for him to go back and deny it now. She said her client would be eligible for parole in 15 years, even though his sentences are back-to-back. Prosecutors are saying that a plea agreement is possible for a third defendant, Nicole Briers. Now, apparently, I didn't realize there was a woman, or she's 21, a young woman, were involved in this mess, too, but somehow they tried to involve her. I don't think she was involved in the planning. According to this, they were trying to get her to help, you know, make it conducive, or get him in a position that they could kill him. They robbed him of approximately $65 before beating and strangling him and stabbing him to death and then setting his body on fire. And his decomposed body was discovered by the side of a railroad. This is all in Small Town Gay Bar. It's pitiful. His mother is a obviously a poor Southern white woman, and her son was down by the side of the road, and they did it because he was gay, and they said that they did it because he was gay. YouTube is causing some controversy these days. You know, YouTube was purchased by Google for a stock buyout. I think it amounted to billions of dollars, did it not? At least one point something billion. Not too long, $1.65 billion. Bought as a stock. Anyway, Google is their parent now. But visitors to YouTube can readily see neo-Nazi propaganda. You can see teenage boys posting videos of them beating up and bashing other gay kids in their school and posting the videos on YouTube for people to see, to brag about. Yet, YouTube apparently has caused quite a stir by removing a video of two teenagers, Luke and Noah. Luke and Noah were kissing for, hang on to your hat, honey, they were kissing for 5 seconds. They were removed from YouTube. The two men said young men said they did that to submit it as proof of their special relationship. I guess that's what kids do these days rather than carve their initials in a tree. I guess you do a YouTube, but there were no huge sex scene going on, just a simple kiss for 5 seconds. To remind the world, as they put it, that a kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. Oh, what would I do, Wander? But that's not the way YouTube saw it. YouTube got some complaints about it, and rather than investigate it, and, that's the way YouTube is driven. You know, people can complain about something and flag it. Then the YouTube people go and look at it, and if it truly is objectionable, they remove it. But even though gay bloggers and gay folks constantly complain over and over and over again to YouTube, these videos by teenage boys, and they call where they're calling gay people faggots and cocksuckers. And by the way, can't women be cocksuckers too? Why is it always men that get the exclusive? Well, that's all in the story. I'm sorry, I didn't go there. But in any case. You could complain to your blue in the face, those, and flag them, they won't get removed. But they are removing this simple 5-second kiss. So there's a lot of controversy going on about this, and it's not just the bloggers. This is being noticed in New York by people who have a lot of money, who are involved in advertising, who are gay. And they're saying that they're not going to support Google or pay for advertising on Google, and they need to seek to differentiate between censorship and encouraging violence and racism, one of the gay folks says that's involved in an advertising mogul. And another woman who's a lesbian, she's investor relationships in New York. She's an investor relations specialist in New York. She has very definite opinions about censoring the gay kiss while allowing gay bashing on YouTube. So, and interestingly enough, YouTube, the people who are making these decisions are some Silicon Valley nerdy type people. You would kind of expect them to be, this is like not being, these decisions are not being made in like Alabama or Kentucky. Oklahoma City, you faggot! big babes, Silicon Valley, for crying out loud. You'd expect them to be. And, there are videos on YouTube that, drug abuse, drug usage. They're encouraging girls to become anorexic by showing thinspiration clips. That's what they're called, thinspiration. You can be very, very thin. And, YouTube should have, if they were acting responsibly, they should have just turned the video over, the people beating the hell out of the gay kid in the school, to the police instead of allowing the criminals to use it for their own enjoyment. But no matter how many times people flag it, it never gets rejected or restricted. Now, these people are writing this as the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Discrimination. It's not just a bunch of, regular gay people. These are organized. These are the gay mafia. This is the gay mafia talking here. They know what they're talking about. So anyway, YouTube, you need to kind of get your act together there, because one gay media buyer in Manhattan put very directly to the company. It says, until YouTube does something right for everyone, I am not interested in buying YouTube. And why is it so hard for YouTube to understand what's wrong? Don't you have any common sense? And by the way, there's a point in this article that the whole thing about, there's some, did you guys know this? There's some sort of FCC regulation about a 13-second rule. That, you know, if a kiss is over 13 seconds long, it could be considered pornographic or it could offend someone. And this doesn't say that, you know, a gay kiss or a straight kiss or what kind of kiss, just a kiss. But apparently their kiss was only 5 seconds, so it was well under the 13-second rule. I didn't know there was a 13-second rule. Did anybody know that? I guess we don't worry about kissing on the radio. Unless Doggy happens to walk over, I might kiss her on the nose. Here's the article I was talking about earlier. It has surfaced the homophobia for profit industry and about how big it's become in the Bush administration. Since George Bush has taken over this country, it is a political tool and it is a very important and potential, well, it is not just potential, it is a very hurtful tool and it's a very potent tool. And of course many people, you know, if there's two ways to look at Ohio in 04. Okay, one, of course, the election was just plain and outright stolen. But then there was a little boost, a little push over the edge. John Fox said, you know, we go to 11. There was a little boost there by Roe putting the anti-gay initiative on the state ballot. We go to 11. So anyway, just to show you, in just one year, the top 10 Christian groups that promote homophobia have raised over $400 million tax-free dollars. Many of these organizations do this exclusively. Now, others, some of these organizations, and I'll list them off, some of these organizations have other hot buttons, but they, you know, address a wider range of social issues, But Focus on the Family, the American Family Association, the Family Research Council, and Traditional Values Coalition are exclusively in the business of gay bashing, period. That is their only fundraising. Notice that Focus on the Family is at the head of that list. The Christian Broadcasting Network has raised $186 million on gay bashing. Focus on the Family, $137 million. Coral Snake Ministries, which Bob told me, ding dong, he's dead, and I still haven't had time to look that up. I've got to read about that, but ding dong, he's dead. Coral Snake Ministries, $39 million. The Alliance Defense Fund, $17 million. American Family Association, $17 million. American Center for Law and Justice, $14 million. It's big bucks, huge bucks. And there's more numbers here, more millions. It says here that if the fundraising for just those four hate groups that exclusively raise money on anti-gay issues, if their funding remains just flat from 2005 through the end of 2000, and they don't raise any more money those years, it's just flat funding, they will have raised about $500 million amongst just those four in the three-year period. Tax-free. Yes, in fact, it is tax-free. And speaking of the American Family Association, there is a movie that's been running, a movie might be overstated, a teaching instructional video, there you go, for kids. It's run on more than 100 PBS stations around the country and around 3,000 educational institutions. It's critically acclaimed. It's a video that merely teaches children to respect differences. It's all it is. But the American Family Association, as you might well imagine, is having a fit, and they're selling a video called Suffer the Children. Now, I didn't take down the price. They're selling the video, probably about $25 a pop. That's usually their strike range. Save a Child from the Queers for $25. And they're suggesting that this DVD, that it runs, what, 24, 28 minutes, something like that, and it's perfect to run in Sunday school classes. You see, the American Family Association, the intent of their video, it's called It's Elementary. Their video is called It's Elementary, I believe. Yeah, It's Elementary is what it is. And No. Theirs is called Suffer the Children. I'm sorry. The video they're attacking is called It's Elementary. Their video is called Suffer the Children. They are claiming the video, they're showing you the ways that teachers are taught to skillfully manipulate children in order to get them to reach politically correct conclusions about the homosexual lifestyle. And this movie, and they're attacking the movie because it depicts adults, including parents, God forbid, as the source of homophobia and ignorance and bigotry. Imagine that. Christians, oh my God, are being portrayed as hate-filled bigots who advocate the torture and death of homosexuals. Well, imagine that. Oh, the world gets stranger every day, does it not? And the Israelis were shocked, I tell you, they were shocked. I was on the rant a while back about the Jews, which flavor, I'm not putting the Jews down, I've had wonderful rabbi on the show. The what is the ultra? Oh, here it is. The ultra orthodox. That's the word I'm looking for. Remember, I was raging about the ultra orthodox Jews who were still like a week, 2 weeks after the gay pride celebration, still burning garbage cans and throwing pipes in the street and raising hell because, well, the ultra orthodox Jews just did not care for Gay Pride Day. That was very, very upset about that. Well, they were just as upset as our Christians, but of course they're Jews. So anyway, Israelis were shocked, I tell you, they were shocked that there was a neo-Nazi ring of immigrant youth discovered in Israel. Well, hate is hate, buddy. It's amazing when you find it. They arrested 8 young immigrants from the Soviet Union, and they had, the Nazi insignias, and they filmed themselves carrying out hate crimes and beating up on Jews, people they could obviously tell were Jews who wore the skull caps. I don't know what they're called. I'm ignorant about that. And homeless people and gay people, the standard list, standard neo-Nazi list. And they had all the standard neo-Nazi accoutrement, the barbed wire fences, tattooed on their arms, the number 88, which is code for Heil Hitler, because H is the 8th letter of the alphabet, and tattoos that proclaim white power. And little neo-Nazis are claiming, and I quote, "I won't ever give up. I was a Nazi, and I will stay a Nazi until we kill them, and I will not rest." Well, can you imagine? This is really happening in the world today. In the 21st century, this is happening. Kid you not. And the Israelis are shocked, I tell you, they're shocked. Well, your own people were pulling it a few weeks ago. They were taking pipe bombs, what was it, the Molotov cocktails, gasoline, in bottles with the rags stuck in them to the gay pride parade to throw at the gay folks. And you're shocked to find, if you're a hateful group of people, I'm not just beating up on the Jews, but God, deliver us from religion. I tell you. In Nigeria, it's not much better. They've got 18 Nigerian men who were arrested for dressing up as women at a hotel party. They went on trial Tuesday before an Islamic court. Dozens of people gathered around and shouted abuse. They threw stones at the men as they were escorted into an armored prison vehicle. And the police even had to fire tear gas into the crowds to break them up. The men were mostly in their 20s. They were arrested in a hotel August the 4th. They were dressed as women, which is illegal under the state penal code. Did I say penal? The penal code. And the offense is punishable by up to a year in prison and 20 lashes by a cane. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the men, trying to hide their faces. They're jeered into the court, out of the court. One of them told the news service that they were there at the hotel for a graduation party. They were charged with addressing each other as women, I guess, hey, girl, whatever. And they were dressed as women. They said the police are upset because they went to the hotel to witness a wedding between a male and a male. The police brought handbags and suitcases containing women's high heel shoes and clothing to the court as evidence. as evidence. And the 18 are not formally charged with homosexuality, which is even a greater crime, but just by dressing as women. And by the way, the prosecutor has adjourned the case until September the 13th to allow the state attorneys to familiarize themselves with the evidence, which we now know are handbags and high heels. I guess they want to be sure what size they are. And didn't mean to bust the mic. Size them high heels, you know, you've got to have a hefty pair of pumps for a big old man. Make sure them was drag queen high heels. About just a little old lady up in there. Might have just been a little old lady. Bob's big evil. And Bob took over from Agnes, by the way. He breaks me up half the things. Oh, you got to love this network. And what to do. Yeah, I'll do the story, and then we'll run our lesbian track for the night. Victoria Arellano, 100 of her supporters, and this is in Los Angeles, by the way, she's a 23-year-old transgender woman, and she died after Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is abbreviated ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. ICE officials denied her AIDS medication. The 100 supporters gathered in front of the federal building on August 27th for a vigil and a press conference in her memory. Victoria's condition began deteriorating in May when, after entering the country illegally for the second time, she was detained at the San Pedro facility. ICE officials denied her gender identity and put her in a men's detention center in a cell designed for 50 men but was holding 80. When the Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials were spoken to, or she tried to talk to them, they systematically denied her medical attention. She was cared for by the other inmates in the facility, who took turns taking her to the bathroom, carrying her. Actually, she was dying. Serious about that. They bought her cool towels. Her condition got worse, and the 80 other detainees began protesting and that her, she was being denied treatment. They began chanting, "Hospital, hospital." You see, these are people who don't know the full range of the language. They're doing pretty good to chant, "Hospital, hospital." They were ignoring orders to get in line for the nightly head count. So finally, they transported her to a hospital, but she was turned back to the facility in 24 hours. Victoria became sicker again. She was transported to the hospital again, and this time to the intensive care unit. She was handcuffed to her bunk and guarded by two immigration agents. She died on July 20th. And following this touched me so deeply. Following her death, the fellow inmates, and these are poor people who are trying to sneak into this country, gathered up $245 and sent them to her mother. Can you imagine that? The United States government not allowing her treatment. And then her fellow, this is like a Bible story. This is like something, a story Jesus would tell. And her fellow inmates sent her about $245. And that's all I can do on that story, even a little bit more. Let's run our lesbian track for the night this evening, Bob. Thank
Spitfire, music for hire, crowd the voices in my head. Sleeping alone, I wanna go home, I wanna be with you. My room is too little and I'm stuck in the middle of the road and you. Sleeping alone, I wanna go home, I wanna
That track is by Ginger Lee, and the song is called Whisper. It's our lesbian track of this evening. We've played several Ginger Lee tracks recently. A wonderful, wonderful singer, and thank you for sending these in. And we have Jim's back. Hiya, Jim. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Peter. Listen, just two things quickly that I'd like to recommend, if I may.
Yes,
for visual pablum.
Okay.
The first, you mentioned the neo-Nazi thing in Israel. There
yes.
is an excellent film out. It was done in 2004 entitled Downfall.
Really?
And it describes the last 10 days of the events that occurred in the Führerhauptquartier, or the bunker in Berlin. And it's based on the actual testimony of Hitler's secretary.
Really?
One of his secretaries, yes, one of the ones who escaped. And it starts in 1942 when he hired her, and it is headquartered in East Prussia. But nonetheless, it is an absolutely devastating account of that. And the second thing is a documentary on Fire Island. I know this is Cat and Dog, and it's called Where the Sky Meets the Sea. And this is an actual sort of excerpt from that, but there were two women in this bar on Fire Island, and that's what this documentary is about. And they were talking to people who were dancing in this club owned by Peggy Fears, and they said, well, you see these two men over there? Those are homosexuals. And you see those two women over there dancing? Well, they're Lithuanians. And from that point forward, they would always fly the Lithuanian flag. So listen, if you've been called faggot or whatever, there have been people who call worse or whatever under all types of ignorance and whatever, but they actually call lesbians Lithuanians.
Lithuanians. That's as bad as the old deal. There's the one about thespians too. That but this one's much better. Lithuanians is much better.
Well, they would fly that Lithuanian flag every year. And but like I say, if you want to see the real face of Adolf Hitler downfall, and if you want to see a very interesting documentary about Fire Island, where the sky meets the sea, you should not miss it. Both have appeared on Logo. Well, actually, the first one, Downfall, was on Showtime. The other is on Logo. But nonetheless, I think you'd find it very interesting things to watch.
I've written them both down, Jim. I have duly scribbled them with my little scribble pen, and I will look for them once the show is over. I'll connect up with Netflix and see what they have to say.
I think you'll find them both. Listen, thank you again.
Thank you, Jim. You're always welcome to call the show. Good night, sir. And that was our friend Jim, who brought us the story of the of the wired vagina. And I would make a joke about a headset mic, but I really shouldn't go there. So we've had neck implants and wired vaginas, and it's typical insanity on the Head On Radio Network. And praise the Lord, I'm past potato salad. I want to